G'day guys, how's it going? Welcome to this episode of Aussie English. Today I have the pleasure, the absolute pleasure of interviewing none other than my father. So this is Ian Smithson. He is on here today with me because I thought it would be important to chat about Australian politics. So I'm sure that if you guys are in Australia at the moment, you will be seeing the election campaign going crazy all over the news, all over the TV, and it's at that point now where, you know, you're probably getting sick of it, to be honest, with Bill Shorten and Scott Morrison constantly ragging on one another and, just filling up way too much time on the TV. Anyway, I thought it would be important to chat about Australian politics. So, today I want to share with you the very first section of a 5-part series that I've done with my dad. And in this part, we're going to talk about the Australian political parties, okay? So that you get an idea of who they are, who they represent, their origins. And you'll have a bit of an idea if you want to go out there and you have to vote, if you're an Australian citizen and you're voting in the upcoming election. So, if you want access to the other 4 parts of this interview, as well as all of my other courses and all of the premium podcast content, make sure you go to aussieenglish.com.au and you can start your trial, your 7-day trial for $1. Anyway, let's get into today's interview, guys. I give you my dad, Ian Smithson. Take it away. Dad, welcome back.
Hey, Pete. Good to be here.
I thought I'd get you in today because obviously we have an election coming up.
We do. 6 exciting days to go.
6 exciting days. I'm doing it by the mail, so I don't even know what day it's officially on. What day is it on that we have to, or you have to jump out and...
Saturday the 18th.
You go down to the local primary school, right?
Go down to the local primary school where you went 20 years ago, and we all line up and vote, buy a sausage and bread.
That's the culture, right?
Shake hands with somebody that you don't want to vote for just because they're there slapping hands and kissing babies.
You have to kind of dodge all the guys at the front, right, handing out flyers as well.
Yeah, if you know how you're going to vote, they just become annoying and it's just a waste of paper, but, you know.
Yeah, I know. So, who are you going to vote for? Is it rude to ask that, by the way?
Oh, look, yeah. If we're talking about Australian culture generally, that's an interesting one because I think certently in my parents' generation... they would never tell me who they voted for, let alone discuss it publicly.
Is that because they don't want to have an argument or some kind of heated discussion?
No, I think it was more that, you know, this is a private decision and I'm going to keep it private. In the end, we knew which side of politics their opinions lay.
Yeah.
In fact, my father used to tell me because he voted informal. And we can talk about the political system in Australia and what that means. But he voted informal because he came from Britain and they didn't have compulsory voting in Britain. And Australia is one of the only countries in the world, I think there's about 10, that have enforced compulsory voting.
So, do you want to explain both of those? Informal voting is...
Yeah, and so informal voting is where you're required to vote, or as I joke, you're actually not. You're required to turn up to vote and get your name crossed off and put a piece of paper, the electoral ballot, into the big cardboard box.
You don't even have to do that, right? You just have to have your name ticked off.
You have to be handed the piece of paper, I think.
Because I went to the last one and I just said... check my name off, and I was like, is that all I have to do? And she was like, yeah, well, you can vote. And I was like, not interested. I just hadn't thought about who to vote for, so I was like, I just don't have any...
I have no opinion, yeah.
And I can't be bothered. I have something to do today, so to be honest, I just want to not get fined $20 or whatever
it is. Well, so that's it. And so that's that. Yeah, we have enforced compulsory voting in that every person over the age of 18 in Australia... is legally required to register to vote and is then legally required to turn up to vote.
And what happens if they don't register?
If they don't register, you'll get chased. They'll find you. It's not a witch hunt, but it's...
the police won't show up.
The police won't show up on your doorstep, but you'll end up getting letters from the Electoral Commission where they will find, there's a bank account, you've got a driver's license, all of those sort of things. So I think there is a team of people sitting in the background somewhere in Canberra that are probably chasing people up to get them registered on the electoral roll.
Yep.
But once you are on the electoral roll, you're required to turn up to every election, whether it's a federal election for the country or whether it's a state election or even just a local city council election, you're required to come and vote.
So in Britain, it's not like that?
No, there's only 10 countries in the world, I think it's 10, that have compulsory and enforced. Just don't spill your coffee.
Yeah, that's it, exactly. I know, bad place to put it.
Yeah, that have enforced compulsory voting. That is, it's compulsory to vote, but the Electoral Commission actually enforce it, so you get a fine if you don't. There's a number of other countries that have compulsory registration to vote, but if you don't turn up to vote on the day, they don't really care. So you get, if you don't come and vote in any one of those, either you have to provide a legitimate reason why you didn't, so unforeseen illness or whatever else. Forgetting isn't quite good enough.
I think I kind of got away with it for forgetting because I'd moved to Canberra and they sent me an email or something saying, you haven't voted in this one. And I was like, I've just forgotten to change that I'm actually
and that would
not
have been,
in state.
Yeah, voted in a or forgot to vote in a state election where you weren't living in the state.
And they
you
gave
forgot,
me a pass. They
and
just
you forgot to change the your enrolment.
Yeah.
So you get fined $20, I think it is. So $20 fine if you don't vote, which is it's a trivial amount for most people, but it's just the sort of statement that saying, look, you know, you're supposed to do it, just go and do it. It's less than a parking fine, you know. So.
Well, that's it. Parking fines are huge now, right?
Yeah, in Melbourne they are, yeah.
So do you think it's a good idea or a bad idea that we have mandatory voting? Do you think it's fair?
Oh, yeah, that's a really interesting sort of moral philosophical question, really. Having grown up with it for my whole life, it's just sort of, it's one that you don't think about.
Yeah,
I actually think it is reasonable for a couple of reasons. One, I believe that as a country, we want our citizens to participate in the democratic process. And if we don't make it mandatory, then there's a reduced chance they will. The second thing it does, and having spent a lot of time in the United States for work over the last decade, and been there at a couple of election times.
You got to see Obama, right?
Yeah, got to see Obama and Bill Clinton on stage at me and Bill and Obama and 35,000 of our closest friends at a rally.
Yep.
One of the challenges that they have in the United States is simply getting people out to vote.
Yep.
So there's an enormous amount of money and time and advertising and effort and by a whole lot of people just to get people out to vote.
And the reverse too, right? Where there's quite often a game played to try and prevent people.
To try and prevent people, yeah,
to like,
exactly.
To sow seeds of dismay or hopelessness and be like, nah,
yeah,
screw
no
this.
Point coming, yeah, that's a foregone conclusion. So that's a challenge. But then the second part of that is that you have people lining up for hours on election day in the United States to vote because there's never a known number of people that are going to come and vote. So there are far fewer voting, polling stations, places where you can go to vote that are open on voting day. But that means that you can end up with, you know, queues a mile or kilometres long just to get in to vote.
Which is another reason not to do it. Whereas, you're like, screw that.
Yeah,
I'm not
exactly.
Wasting my day in the sun.
Whereas in Australia, we know exactly how many people there are to vote in our town. You know, there's 15,000 people, plus or minus a few thousand, depending on holidays and weekends, that live here, of which half are probably registered to vote because they're 18 or over.
Yep.
So we know that there are 7,000 or 8,000 people that are going to have to vote. And in order to get through that number of people, the Electoral Commission knows that they've got to have two or three places open all day and staff them with the right people. So there's never a queue of more than, you know, 15 to 30 minute wait at the busiest time, which is usually first thing in the morning. And you're always going to get in and vote quickly. It also means that the Electoral Commission have got the apparatus set up to count those votes really quickly. And apart from postal votes and other sorts of, you know, vote where you can vote in an electorate that you don't actually live in, so that then has to be transferred over to that electorate and so on. But the majority of people who vote on the day, the counting is done by the end of the day. By, you know, voting closes at 6, by 8 o'clock, the counting is basically done, and then it's just collating it through the rest of the evening to get those together. So, but I think the other side of that, other than just the logistical side, I think the other part of it that's important is to understand that if we want our citizens to vote and participate, then requiring to vote is a reasonable thing. You could argue on the opposite side of that and say, well, you know, why should we force people to participate in our society? But I think it's sort of fairly minimalist participation, where all you're saying at the national level is that, you know, you've got to go turn up once every 3 years and put a tick in a box.
I think it's one of those things, for me at least, I can kind of see the libertarian side of it, where you should be able to opt out. And I guess you have the opportunity of doing that as long as you go there.
Yeah,
but at the same time, it'd be nice if I could just press a button online and be like, okay, I don't have to waste 20, 30, minutes, 60 minutes of my day.
The mechanism for voting is something that we probably need to look at some stage. But the opportunities for either accidental or deliberate manipulation of electronic voting or for something to go wrong are way higher than simply counting bits of paper.
Which is something similar to what happened with the census few years ago, right? Where we got virus. What was it? There was some sort
spyware
attack or something.
Look, I think it was just, you know, there were a few attacks on it, but
it crashed the system so that people couldn't fill it out online.
And, you know, can you imagine what the federal election would look like if voting was open for, even if you open it for the week beforehand, but voting was open for a week and then for 5 or 6 of those days it wasn't available or something went wrong and then you've got to go out and do it again. And, you know, so it's a really hard one. You'd think that the technology should be available now to do it, but I don't think we're quite there.
All right, guys. Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview. Remember, if you want to check out the other 4 parts of this interview, it's about an hour long. Make sure that you sign up to the Aussie English Classroom. You can start your 7-day trial for $1. Just go to aussieenglish.com.au. I'll see you in there.